Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
Here I am in heaven. I get to heaven in an instant, and I see light, as you probably have heard more than once, that people, when they go to heaven, they go toward the light. Mm-hmm. And I saw Jesus coming in light towards me. And as he came towards me, the thing that I remember about heaven more than anything else, I knew there was love there, and I could see it in his eyes, just love and acceptance. And the thing that impressed me most of anything else was the acceptance and no judgment that was there.
Oh, my.
I wasn't judged for the color of my skin. I wasn't judged because I'm going bald. I'm not judged because of what I'm wearing. I'm not judged because of anything else. I was totally accepted, and I was blown away. I'm in this place, and there's love, and there's peace, and there's joy, but there's acceptance. There's no judgment.
Wow.
And I was just astounded by it.
Here's your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
Hey, you've probably heard someone say no one died, no one's died and lived to tell about it. Well, that's not true. That's not true. People have died and returned or come back. And the man that I have as a guest today, his name is Stephen J. York. He is going to tell his story today. He's a man that died and came back.
And here he is. The man that died and lived to tell about it, Stephen J. York.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, another beautiful day.
It is.
How are you today?
Wonderful. Fantastic.
Where do you live?
I live in Collinsville, Illinois, right across from St. Louis.
That big arch.
Yep, I can see it now.
Oh, my. Well, I've driven past it a few times. What do you do? What do you have? You have a business?
I have a business. It's called Good Looking Homes, and I actually buy houses and fix them up and rehab them and turn around and sell them, and I'm also into drywall. I still finish drywall for a living.
That's quite a job. That's a tight budget and a lot of hard work.
This is true.
Let's see. I met you at a Voice of the Apostles, Randy Clark and Global Awakening. I was talking to you a little earlier. Are you planning to go with that ministry team, the Voice of Prophecy, to Brazil with Jamie Galloway?
I am. You know, we're going to be leaving in July. At least that's the plan, and I'm really looking forward to it. My daughter, who is 20, is going to be going with me, and we're going to have a great time.
Wow. That's nice to get to go with your daughter, and Brazil is a wonderful place. The people there are lovely, and the power of God is moving mightily there. After you go to Brazil, you're somewhat ruined because you're looking for miracles and the power of God and people that are so loving. I met a Brazilian pastor, and he said the Brazilian people love Americans, and that's true.
Well, that's good to know. I know that she and I have gone to Guatemala for several times, and it's been really good. We really wanted to go with Randy Clark just to see the power of God move. I've heard some really wonderful stories from down there.
Oh, amen. And we have been telling those stories, miracles, and some of them are so remarkable. They're worthwhile repeating. One thing Randy says, when you get back to the States, remember to keep these testimonies going, and that's what we're doing. But today we have your testimony. We have a story that you want to tell that we're interested in hearing.
Sure. Be glad to. You know, I was finishing drywall, working with my brother. We were subcontractors down in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving from one job to another, had my truck full. My stilts were on top of all the buckets I was carrying in the back, and one of the straps for the stilt was flapping, and I saw it, and didn't want to lose it because I had needed it when we got to the job, and I saw it blow off. So I stopped. I was on a highway, 55 mile an hour was a speed limit. I backed up, got off the road, got out of my truck, And there was a logging truck coming, because we had just passed a Weyerhaeuser plant about 2 miles before. And he was coming to unload his logs, and he was in a hurry.
Mm.
He passed a woman. She was doing the speed limit, and he was probably doing 60, 65.
Oh, my.
And he came up, and I had gotten out of my truck, and I saw him, and he was just starting to pass the woman. And he apparently was going so fast that he came over too far.
Mm.
He saw he was too close to me. My back was to him, and I realized he was too close to me. I turned around, and when I turned around, the big old metal beams and poles that hold these logs together, he pulled his truck over. The trailer went the opposite way toward me, as it would. And that corner of that steel, those steel beams that hold those logs hit me square in my head.
Oh, my.
Broke my neck, smashed a hole in my skull. I had brain damage to the frontal lobe of my brain. Broke my arm, compound fracture in my right arm. Smashed up my clavicle or my collarbone, punctured my lungs, busted all my ribs, and broke my neck, busted my jaw, smashed up my teeth.
Oh,
and
my.
I was a mess. I died. My brother was there. The reason why he didn't get out was because we were so much on an angle that he has to roll out of the truck. So he rolls out of the truck and comes, gets me as you know, it smashed me up. He said I wasn't breathing, and he began to pray. He began to call out to God, Steve and I are to minister together. I've seen it, and we haven't. And he began to call me back from the dead.
Oh, my.
Here I am in heaven. I get to heaven in an instant, and I see light, as you probably have heard more than once, that people, when they go to heaven, they go toward the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Jesus coming in light towards me. And as he came towards me, the thing that I remember about heaven more than anything else, I knew there was love there, and I could see it in his eyes, just love and acceptance. And the thing that impressed me most of anything else was the acceptance and no judgment that was there.
Oh, my.
I wasn't judged for the color of my skin. I wasn't judged because I'm going bald. I'm not judged because of what I'm wearing. I'm not judged because of anything else. I was totally accepted, and I was blown away. I'm in this place. And there's love, and there's peace, and there's joy, but there's acceptance. There's no judgment.
Wow.
And I was just astounded by it. It didn't matter at all, except for the fact that I knew that I was accepted by God, that I was loved by Him.
Wow, that's something we crave. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus looks at me, and I knew my brother was calling me back.
Oh.
And he looks at me, and he says, "You must go back. I'm not through with you. You have a job to do."
Oh, my.
And I said, Lord, don't send me back. I don't want to go back. I want to stay here with you. And I know that my brother's calling me back. And he said, no, you must go back. And I just cried out to Jesus. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go back. Please, don't make me go back.
Mm.
And the next thing I know, and actually I don't remember it, my brother said this. He said, Steve, he said, you spoke. He said, you breathed out, which was really impossible because my lung was punctured. When he said, when you came back, he said, I was gone for about 10 minutes. And he said, when I came back, he said, I breathed out and I said, don't send me back. I don't want to go back.
Oh.
And I opened my eyes and I looked up into his eyes. And I looked at him and I said, Bruce, let me go. Let me go back. I want to go back. And he didn't.
He wouldn't do
I don't
that.
Remember. Jim, I don't remember anything for the next 10 days. I do remember this, though, that for the next 5 years, I had miracle after miracle in my body. The doctors told me that I would not, or told my wife, if he lives, they did not expect me to live. If I lived, I would be in a respirator all my life.
Oh, my.
Because of the brain damage to the frontal lobe of my brain. They said that my neck was broken and that my spine was leaking, and they thought I would be paralyzed, so that I would be in bed on a respirator and paralyzed.
Oh, my.
They strapped my shoulder and my elbow and all that stuff to my body, and all my muscles healed in place for my shoulder, my elbow, my arm, and they didn't expect me to live. And 10 days later, I actually was awake. They tell me that I was answering questions.
Hmm.
by shaking my left foot for no and my right foot for yes. But I don't remember any of it. I was on a respirator. They were feeding me through tubes, and people just began to pray for me. They took x-rays again. They did another CAT scan, and they saw my neck was no longer broke.
Oh, my.
I didn't find out my jaw was broken, although they had fixed a bunch of my teeth, until I woke up and they gave me some food after they took the respirator out that they had given up on, and a nurse tried it one more time, and it worked, and she called the doctor to get permission to take me off of it. And here I am in the hospital. People are praying for me. God is answering prayers. My brother, who called me back, was surprised that I didn't get up and walk out, because he believed that I would. Mm-hmm. He was surprised it took 15 months for me to go back to work again. I went to the doctor who had put a plate in my arm because it was a compound fracture. He had to put a plate on my arm to put it back together again. He said, and my arm would not work. My elbow would not bend. I couldn't shift gears in my truck. I had to shift them with my left hand while I held the steering wheel with my right. Here I am, not able to use my arm. My elbow wouldn't move. Went through 6 months of physical therapy. Would not help. He went in to manipulate my shoulder, which means they were going to tear all my muscles. And instead of having 25% use, he thought I could have maybe up to 50% use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a drywaller, Jim.
Oh, yeah, you need those arms.
And I need my shoulder, my arms, and that's what I knew, and I was good at it, and I loved it, and that's what fed my family. And I just began to pray and believe God that he would heal that. And the doctor said, you know, that's the only thing that we can do for you. Went to a specialist in New York. They said, all your muscles healed in place. They're all scarred, and we can do nothing for you. The doctor should have moved your arm and your elbow 15 different positions a day, did not. So therefore, all your muscles have healed in place, and they're all locked. They're all atrophied. They will not move and go back.
They won't move. You're okay.
I was working, actually, on my pastor's house. He was building a house, and he was giving me a little money because I lost all my money. Didn't have any. The guy that I was working for, the workman's comp, was he had ran out of the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
No insurance, didn't pay it. So here I am without insurance, without income. My pastor says, you know, and I'm varnishing with my left hand, holding the can with my right.
Oh, my one arm.
To drop it off one day, and I backed up, put my truck into reverse, backed up, and realized my arm was hanging straight down, which it hadn't done for 6 months. And God freed my arm, and I was just waving my arms and thanking Jesus because he healed me. I lost my smell. All the nerves in my nose were all severed from a olfactory nerve was severed from a button in your brain. The doctor said, nothing we can do about it. Will not grow back. You'll always never be able to taste food again.
Oh, my.
Jesus gave me one nerve back at a time.
Thank you,
took 4
Lord.
Years, and the good thing about it, Jim, is my daughter was born 2 years after. So during that time, I could change her diapers and not smell a thing. It was phenomenal.
Well, there is a good point, a silver lining in every cloud.
Oh, yes. But, you know, the thing that, more than anything else, I wanted to go back to heaven so bad. For 5 years, I wanted to die.
This is something I've had a hard time understanding. Other people have said the same thing. They want to go back, and they're miserable here. They're even miserable. They just keep wanting to go back. Uh-huh. Tell us more.
Well, you know, the thing I think more than anything else, and I've thought about this, and I realize, and now I'm over it, because I met two little ladies that saw that on me and prayed for me and told me what was going on. But I just walked around wanting to die. I wanted to go back to heaven because there was no judgment there. There was, and I knew I was loved. And I began to realize that once I was free from that, that it wasn't the fact that other people judged me, but that I judged myself. And I believe it was a lie that I had gone to church and, you know, God was mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God was going to send everybody to hell. And it wasn't that I learned about the goodness of God or the love of God, which I know now. Because when I went to heaven, I think the reason why I wanted to die was because there was no judgment and I knew that I was loved. But when I came back to the earth, it's like there's a band of sin around the earth and it affects us all. And we think negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm a positive person, I would still beat up myself all the time. I don't know if you have that problem, but
Fine.
People do.
I identify with that. When I read that line to your note to me, I identified with it right away. I feel rejection.
Yes. And so therefore, because I'm living in the earth, I want to go back to heaven because I didn't feel that. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I was free. And I was free to receive. Here's the point. I was free to receive the love of God that he offers to us. And I knew there that I could receive it freely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's being blocked here by my own failures, by my own thinking of I'm not worthy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I know better.
We sort of know better.
I mean, I know better. I know that God loves me. I know I've been taught that. I know I can read that. I know that I'm accepted. I know that he's reconciled me. Jesus reconciled me to God.
Yes.
And he did the whole world when he died.
Yes, he did.
But yet, here I am, still that way, and it took 5 years, and I got rid of it. I broke that thing. I rejected it. And they said, I'm going to begin to live again and take care. And I was taking care of my family. I was working. I was doing everything I was supposed to do, but still living in, you know, that rejection and that negative attitude. Now it's different. Do I still struggle with it? Yes, but not like I used to. In fact, more and more, I'm beginning to just accept who I am and accept that I'm loved by God no matter what I look like. In fact, really, when it comes down to it, when I blow it, I know he loves me, and I know he's there, and I know he knew that I was going to do what I did, and I know that he forgives me, and that's what's so precious.
That's precious. I know when I was in Brazil, the interpreters would warn me about certain people that would come in off the street to be prayed for, and some stand out, but what the Holy Spirit would tell me while I was praying for them, he would call them perfect. He would call them lovely. God had such love and respect for the people that I was praying for. But the people around them, they would try to tell me, well, this person does that. And, you know, I just put your story with that because God's acceptance was actually greater than love. I can hardly express it. I want to be able to express that. It was, if I could say, it was greater than God's love, his acceptance. And you know what? God had pride in his creation. As they stood before me and as I prayed for them, he had pride. In a sense, he said, look what I have made. And that's the kind of love and acceptance that God gives us. Do I realize it completely? No. I feel rejected. Even recently, I work with Christians, and sometimes they don't say thanks. They don't talk to you. They don't call you. They might criticize you, and I suffer under that even today. Yeah, your story has been wonderful. Now, we don't have much more time. You have a couple more minutes. Could you tell us something else?
You know, the thing that I began to walk, because God healed me of so many things, and he has since then, I've always had the attitude of, Lord, I missed your best. I missed you. I miss you. I'm here.
Did you say you missed him?
I missed him so many times.
Oh, yeah.
I failed so many times.
Mm.
God, you can't love me. And, I was crying one day, just driving down the circle belt around St. Louis on 255. And God came to me just when I was just crying out to him. And he said, you've not missed my best. Best is yet to come.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And he spoke to me and said, not only do you have a hope in the future, but he said, I've ordained for you to be here in this time, in this hour. You know, it's just like God to, when you feel you're such a mess,
mm-hmm.
that he comes and he can speak. You know, but many times we don't want to hear it because I've come back to it. We believe the lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the evil one wants us to believe,
mm-hmm.
because he wants us to be separated from God when God has just got a loving arm saying, come
yeah,
to me.
That's
come
right.
To me. I have a plan in the future for your life.
That's right. Ah, he's our sustainer. He's our keeper. He's a sweetheart. And we go to him for that love and affection.
Yeah.
And he's told me, sometimes I felt so bad about mistakes. I said, oh, I wish I would have done better. He would say to me, you did the best that you could at that time. Wow. I thought, wow. He's not mad at me, and he thinks highly of me. And my fellow listeners, God is a sweetheart. He is a lover of mankind. He's proud of his creation, and he wants you today. He wants you to know that today. Steve, we're coming to an end. I'm going to have to say goodbye. I appreciate your testimony. It's been a blessing. Do you think you'd like to go on with some more?
Sure, if you'd like. Love to. I would love to.
That's all the time I got right now for you.
God bless you, Jeff.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for your sweet presence. We thank you for your lovely, lovely presence, your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. You've changed our life, a life which, well, many people feel rejection. You know, Michael, you wrote to me and you told me of your life and what a mess. But you know, God accepts you where you're at. He loves you. And you know what? He's proud of his creation. I'd like those in the sound of my voice today, just take a minute. Tell Jesus, oh, I've wasted my time, I've wasted my life, but I want you, I need you. Forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. And as I heard, Lord, you accept me. You accept Jesus today. Say, Lord, I want you, I need you, and I'll live for you forever. On the next portion of our broadcast, I would like to share the story or testimony from Tom Rotolo and the School of Power and Love.
And she got there and go like, no, we're just here from the Global Schools of Renowned Ministry. They're just repeat it all again, you know. And she said, we're out here praying for people. And she goes, you don't understand. She said, I was home this morning. I've been so depressed lately. I'm home this morning and I said, I just cannot live any longer. And I have a gun at home and I decided to come to this mall today to buy myself a ring and I was going to go home and shoot myself.
Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
Today we're starting a two-part series with Tom Rotolo. He's the founder and director of the School of Power and Love, which is traveling throughout the United States and now international. It's really nice to have you today.
It's good to be here. I traveled for seven years with Randy Clark, Global Awakening, and worked with him as his VP of International Ministries. And we went all over the world and taking actually missions trips. We would take people from the U.S. to other countries and we'd have meetings there. And probably Brazil is my favorite. I've been there now 25 times over the last 10, 11 years. Every time I go, just incredible miracles happen. So the first day came that they were going out because we would have some teaching and then we would go out for a couple hours and just to talk to people everywhere, at the malls, at the restaurants, you know. And so we would divide them up into twos and we said, okay, go out and find people to pray for and pray for the sick, tell people about Jesus. And so I was praying to myself. I said, Lord, let there be at least like two or three good things that happen today, you know, so that the students don't get discouraged, you know, me, big man of faith here. And so they would go out and they went out for that time and they came back. And I'll tell you, it was probably the most powerful day of every time. I mean, the first day was probably the most powerful day. The Lord so honored it. There was probably 15 amazing stories. And if we have a chance, I can tell you one that was just...
I think we'd like to hear that.
For example, this one, just every time I think of it, I just go, oh, Lord, you're so good. These two ladies, and they're probably middle-aged, probably, I don't know, maybe in their 50s, okay? And they were went to the mall in Harrisburg, and they were about to leave. They'd actually already prayed for a couple people, had some good experiences, and were encouraged, and were now about to leave the mall. And one of them gets a pain in her back. And she thinks, I think I just had a word of knowledge. Now, what a word of knowledge is
is
when God speaks to us about somebody else. And sometimes he does it in different ways. He can speak in our heart, like he can say something in a very whisper in our mind, like a thought going through our mind, or it can be a pain in our body that is not our pain. You know, it's we know we don't have a hurt back, and her back was not hurting, but all of a sudden she had this pain in her back. Mm. And so she thought that could be a word of knowledge.
Okay.
That could be God speaking to me. And the other, the friend that was with her, her partner that they went out together, she said, you know, I just got a pain in my back. And she said, I think this merely could be God. So they looked around and they thought, who might have a pain in their back that they could pray for? And there was these two ladies at a kiosk right in the center of the mall, and it was a jewelry kiosk. And so they go up to these ladies and they say, excuse me, can we ask you a question? She goes, I guess, you know. And she says, well, we want to know if you have a pain in your back. And this lady's like, well, yeah, how did you know that? He said, well, we were just walking along here. And they said, we're from the Global School of Supernatural Ministry. And we're walking out. We're out praying for people in the mall. And normally we tell them not to tell that we're from the Global School of Supernatural. We just want people to go out as Christians. But they're like, they're so excited. They're like, we're out praying for people. And and we felt like that God gave me a pain. And it told me that that you had a pain in your back and he wants to heal you. She goes, so can we pray for you? And the lady's like, I guess so, you know, and, you know, kind of very skeptical. And so they prayed very quickly. In Jesus' name, pain, you leave this back. Amen.
Just a short prayer like
very,
that?
Very, very short, not more than 10, 15
and
seconds.
And that works?
Well, here's what happened. The lady says, the lady just says, thank you very much. And the two ladies from the school were like, no, you have to try it out. Like, try to make it hurt. Try to see if you can, you know, if it's anything's changed. And she says, well, it mainly hurts when I walk. And I said, well, just walk for a little bit. She goes, okay, you know, she's just tolerating them at this point. And she starts walking and she starts moving her back around. And this look goes over her face like, oh my goodness. She says, it's gone. The pain's gone. And she begins to cry. And she looks at the people and she's like studying their faces. Like this woman is looking at these two students and she's looking, she says, are you angels?
Oh my.
Now this is around the time when Touched by an Angel was out, you know, in the TV. And you could tell it's going through her head. Like she's looking at them like, are you angels? I mean, you know, she's sitting in the mall. She's at a kiosk. They go like, no, we're just here from the Global School of Supernatural Ministry. They're just repeat it all again, you know. And she says, we're out here praying for people. And she goes, you don't understand. She said, I was home this morning. I've been so depressed lately. I'm home this morning. And I said, I just cannot live any longer. And I have a gun at home. And I decided to come to this mall today to buy myself a ring. And I was going to go home and shoot myself.
So, my friend, no matter how low you are today, how broken you are today, and how needy you are today, there is a God in heaven, and He is interested in your care right where you're at right now. It's His heart's desire to deliver you. You see, God is a healer and a deliverer. He is not a destroyer. He does not bring destruction and sorrow and grief that you may have learned from your childhood or what people say, that it was God that did this. No, my friend, the Bible says that God is good and everything that is good comes from Him. So, my friend, today, expect great things from God to deliver you no matter where you're at. I pray, Father, today for each and every listener today that is so needy today, that needs your love, your help, your power, and your healing. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to reach down and heal that body, heal that life, touch that heart today, and we'll give you the praise forever and forever. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Jesus can satisfy your soul.
The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search this wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction.